after the fire's going, there shouldn't be smoke.
Right.
If there's still smoke going, just open your damper, you know?
So it really comes down to a major consideration is getting your wood at least a year in advance. Like, you know, it sounds kind of like a strange thing, but you want to have, let's say, a couple cords for a winter.
Yeah.
But you want to have this year's wood that you're buying now for the following year, and you bought, you know, you've always got, you're like a year ahead.
You should.
You're not buying this year's wood this summer. You bought this next winter's wood last summer.
Totally. And another thing that you just reminded me is that might be an advice to the guys that carry the wood on Salt Spring here.
Right.
Whenever I see their truckloads of wood, which is dry.
Right.
And
I mean, the season's wood that they say it's totally seasoned and they're selling it.
Yeah.
But they just, the chainsaw is sitting there, they chopped it that day, and they're saying it's seasoned wood. It's seasoned by a day.
Yeah, it not
air dried on the way to your house.
That's right, kind of like that. And it's very cheap to buy a tarp and put it on top of that wood, you know? Because these guys, I've seen it over and over. The rain starts to pour, and there is no tarp on that wood, which was dry somewhat initially. Mm-hmm. Now it's just getting more wet. And it doesn't need to be because it's a $10 tarp.
Dead wood will suck in water.
Of course. Like a sponge.
Yeah.
So let's just, you know, minimize.
You've got to cover it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cheap investment.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden when I see a tarp on the load of wood that you're selling, I feel that you actually care.
Right.
And it makes me feel like maybe I would want to buy your wood.
Right.
Because you care.
But even if you buy the wood, and the thing is, you actually want to buy the wood in the spring or the summer, because don't buy it in the fall, because so many people are buying the wood that fall to use that winter.
Yeah.
The prices go up in the fall.
Of course.
So it's cheaper in the spring and summer. So you really want to plan, you know, you're going to be in your house for a long time. Plan these things out years in advance and get the wood delivered for next winter.
And you'll get, like you said, you'll get better deals if you approach them when they're in a low season.
Exactly.
Because they need the money right now.
See, that's why I came by here to do this interview today, because I didn't want to wait until October.
Mm-hmm.
Because in October, you're not standing around the showroom, are you?
No. No, you know it. I'm running or tap dancing on roofs there.
It gets, well, I mean, that when does it really get busy in the fireplace business?
Just the last 3 weeks of December, I think.
Of the summer?
December.
December.
Yeah, because everybody's receiving family, and they just want the new fireplace in, and they want the new wood stove in, and they want everything to be ready before the family shows up.
Right.
So that's the last 3 weeks, and yes, everybody called a day before.
The day before.
The day before they want it.
And where's that Chris guy? How come he's not out of my house?
Why is he not here now?
I can hear him on the radio. Why isn't he at my house?
That's right. That's exactly what they're saying. But it would be better if people would start planning a little about things like that.
So if you're going to do your wood stove stuff, you do it in the down season, in the summertime, or else in the spring when nobody else is thinking about it.
That's right.
Because then you can get Chris to come out and actually probably throw in a lesson, too.
Hey, if you want to. It's free.
But the lesson, I can see why it's important to burn the wood properly. If you do it like it's an old school one where you throw the wet stuff in there, you can cause a lot of problems, and you could probably even cause a fire.
Yeah, chimney fire, lots of times, right?
How many chimney fires do you think we get a year on Salt Spring?
A year? Oh, I would go close to 50 or something like that, 40, 50.
40 or 50?
Yeah, of the ones that I know about.
Wow, that's amazing. So a lot of times, do the people even know they've had a chimney fire?
They usually do know, actually, but not initially. When the jumbo jet is leaving the house, because the sound of, I don't know if you know.
I've never actually had it.
It's kind of like a jumbo jet is like, just leaving the house, just the.
Because the vacuum just starts going crazy.
Yeah, and the flame.
And the flame.
The sound of the flame and the vacuum and.
So explain to me what happens on a chimney fire. Let's say we've been burning this wet wood for months, and then.
Mm-hmm. And then the creosote built up, and creosote is highly combustible and highly gummy, like you were saying, right? Sticky. So when it starts bubbling and heating up and it catches on fire, it burns for like resin on a tree. It just burns for a long time. It burns really hot.
So inside the fire, inside the chimney.
Inside the chimney. And it just keeps, and the flames sometimes I'm shooting maybe 10 feet above the chimney.
Oh,
right?
Wow. That must be amazing.
Yeah, it is. And if you have trees around your chimney, you might want to think about trimming those too, just in case.
Right.
And so the trick with, a lot of people know the trick by now, but a cup of water. And when you start hearing it and you start seeing your wood stove, they're starting hovering and it wants to move around the room.
Oh, really?
You quickly open the door, toss in a cup of water, and close the door. Just one cup of water. And the steam will take care of the rest.
It'll put it out.
It will put it out. So.
So instead of running up on the roof with a hose and trying to get it from that end.
No, don't do that.
Is that what people, the first thing, that's probably what they think about it. Get up on the roof.
Throwing the rose in, trying to lasso the hose in there.
Is that what they're trying to, like, do people try to put the hose in there? You would think, you know, because I thought about chimney fire, you'd go to the end and stick the hose in and try to.
Yeah, no. It's a cup of water and right in the stove and that's it. And shut it.
Do most people know that?
I hope so. I hope they don't know.
Because I've had a wood fireplace for 12 years, and I've never heard of the cup of water in there.
No. Well, the fire department will tell you if you ask them how do you take care of a chimney fire.
Right.
That's what they do when they show up.
So they just come out with a cup.
That's all they bring. They leave the truck at home, take the cab.
Coffee and a cup, and he throws it in there. But now you've got a problem. Now you've still got all this creosote in there, though.
No, it's burnt. It's clean. That
does it get all of it out?
Yeah. Especially if it goes through, like it burned for a while. That used to be how they cleaned the chimneys in the olden days.
That's the days before kids had seatbelts in the car, though.
That's right. Yes, but it was at one time the way they would just clean the chimney, and it would happen. It would happen instantly. They weren't planning on cleaning the chimney. It just would happen.
So the fire insurance companies must have really loved that. Oh, we lost another one in Salt Spring today due to cleaning the old fireplace. Gee, Chris has cost us 12 houses this year.
But also, when you have a fire in your chimney, you actually damage the integrity of the chimney.
Even the steel chimneys.
Oh, yeah, especially, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it reaches a temperature that's much greater than what the steel was tested at.
Kind of like the 9/11 towers there, too, where bends, the same thing. Probably.
Exactly.
Heats up to 1,200 degrees or whatever.
So the chimney starts to have what they call, like, mumps. It gets...
mumps, okay.
They get bumps that it push inwards.
Right.
Which restrict the airflow.
Right.
It's not 6 inch anymore. It becomes like 4.5 inch, depending. Right?
Right.
So, and then the steel that is already, have been exposed to a higher, greater temperature is weaker. So it can't tolerate the temperature it was tested at or approved for initially. So if it was 650, for example, well, now it just tolerates 400 or, you know.
Wow. So do you have to go out and replace the whole fireplace?
You should.
Do you get many of these calls a year where you have to go out?
Yeah, I've had to replace chimneys that had mumps before. You know,
what do the people say? Are they kind of like, well?
Well, they understand that then the integrity of the chimney has been compromised, and that their safety is more valuable than a couple bucks or whatever. How much? Even if it's a couple $1,000.
But there's really no reason to have a chimney fire.
You don't have to.
No, I mean it. If you're doing everything right, it should be almost an impossibility.
Correct. Yeah, if you burn hot enough, you're actually cleaning your chimney as you're burning.
Yeah.
All right? So if you burn hot enough, you're actually cleaning your chimney.
Well, and that's just it. If you've got dry wood, you're getting a fast, hot fire going, and you're burning hot, you know, fast with the damper wide open, it'll never creosote up. Dave Campbell cleans my chimney every year. He goes, there's nothing in it, really. It's just a little bit of...
Yep, exactly. That's true.
But he must know the customers who just like...
Well, he does. And I know Dave very well. Right. And he does look at the wood pile if he suspects that someone's burning wet wood or things like that. And he will advise them. you know, to not do so or to, you know, acquire some dry, proper
because,
wood.
I mean, they're putting their own lives in their hand. I mean, that chimney fire, it's like you said, if there's trees there,
yep.
it could burn the whole house down.
Yeah, if you have a shake roof, you know.
if you have
dormers that are not close enough, all of a sudden, it's, you know, the life of your kids, it's the life of your parents, whatever, whoever it is, it's worth keeping. Yeah. Right.
So the trick is then to do it properly, get the hot fire going with the dry wood, and then even if you do that, still get it cleaned once a year.
Yeah, of course, yes. Yeah. You get it cleaned at least once a year, and if you know you've been burning wet wood, maybe you want to do it twice.
Right. Or stock up on your wood now.
Mm-hmm. Stock up on your wood is the best, of course, is the best
is
option.
There, okay, what is it about... It's a fallacy then if you have kind of wet wood and you put it in there and you turn the dampers down and you just kind of smolder. You think that the wood's going to last longer, produce a little bit of heat. That's kind of the fallacy. That's the reasoning behind it, right? We'll make the wood last longer because I've got a fire going here for an hour, and if you burn real hot, well, it may only last 20 minutes.
That's what most people think. And I know from experience that the BTU generated by your wet wood is next to none. So you're not generating the heat you want. It will last longer, but you don't have any heat.
There's no heat coming out. So you got the smoldering fire that's putting out tons of particulate and tons of creosote and virtually no heat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting your own life in danger and
eventually.
Maybe your neighbors.
Yeah.
And for what? But that seems to be the rationale, is that it's going to make it last longer.
Yeah, you know, the only time I'll use wet wood is if I'm, first of all, is if I have some handy and I have nothing else or something. But if I do use it, I will use with, let's say, a combination of like 2x4s, kiln-dried 2x4s and stuff like that, ends of like a job site. If I burn the kiln-dried 2x4s, it burns really, really hot. And if I have established bed of coals with those 2x4s, then if I put one piece of wet wood, I won't even notice the difference.
It'll just disintegrate. It'll just burn up.
Yes. Yeah, it'll burn wet. It will actually burn wet. But that's once in a while. That's not an everyday, 20 hours a day type thing, right?
So do you have any good stories about fireplaces or installs or tough things that you've dealt with?
Good stories...
Chris is a guy with 5,000 good stories. Well, your best one was, we did a video a year ago, about the cleaning. You had an ingenious method of cleaning stoves. Like, you know, the problem with a wood stove is you get all that ash in there, right? Because the ash comes from, the bits of paper and the bits of...
From the wood.
The wood, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to get it out because you can't just let the ash build up forever, right?
Well, you could, but eventually you'll run out of room.
Yeah, because it just chokes. Like, you should have some ash in the bottom. Right?
Always have some ash in the bottom of your firebox.
Like, if you got about a half an inch ash, an inch.
Yeah. Never vacuum your firebox. Some people do.
Roger.
Yeah, and hopefully they let the fire die out before, because the vacuum is going to catch them.
Then you don't have to worry about the chimney fire. You've got the vacuum fire.
In the closet.
Yeah, closet. So now you've got this ingenious method, though.
I do. Well,
it's like a patented Chris trademark method, right?
Okay, so the clean out, well, some stoves have the option of having a ash pan clean out.
A what?
Ash pan.
A what?
Ash pan.
See, Chris is originally from Quebec, so it's English is not his first language. So it's one of the, some words just are hard. Ash pan.
Ash pan. Yeah. Ash pan clean out. So what that means is
that's a South End hash pan drink clean out. All the South Enders are thinking, what? Clean out my hash pan? I don't clean that thing out. Only for a big party.
So the. There's a hole at the bottom of the firebox, right, where you gather all your ash and you know.
They're useless because you're trying to put, you take out the one little brick and then you open up the little tiny trap door.
Well, first of all, you got to find that brick.
Yeah, and then you try to shovel everything in that little tiny hole. Yeah.
And while you do that, you get a cloud of ash in your face. And then you have this tray, which is full. So you're going to have to do two or three.
And that's the most dangerous walk in the house, walking out of the house with a tray.
Oh, yeah. With a tray full of ash.
So you want to make sure you get to your neighbor's property before you trip.
The compost pile. Yeah.
Compost. Can you compost it?
Yeah.
You can compost ash.
Well, yeah. It's like ash would be la chaux. What's it? It's lime?
Oh, okay.
Kind of like.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I always... You know, when I'm out checking out a property, you can always see if there's an empty lot next door. That's where they dump their ash.
Lot ash, yeah.
Over the fence, over the neighborhood.
That's right. That's right. And the compost.
Yeah. I find the chickens love it. The chickens love ash.
They do?
They roll in it for days because it's like a dust bath for them.
And it's probably good for lice.
They go out and they'll spend
it. That's a different show.
That's a different show. That's the Grow Your Own show, Wednesday the 3rd.
But anyways, so I found that if I were using a water bottle and I would put it onto the mist setting, and I would just saturating the bottom of my firebox onto the ash enough to saturate it, then let it saturate itself a minute or two, not even, and then you could lift.
It just clumps together in a big, huge clump.
Yeah, which no cloud of dust or anything like that. So three, four scoops, and you're done, right?
That's such an easy way to clean it out. So you just take your mister. How long do you have to wait after you mist it? About 20 minutes?
No. I would say, depending on how you're doing it, let's say a minute.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Because I look for the stupid little thing, take it out, scoop it all down there, and then you've got the full tray, and then you're trying to walk through the house. Okay, stand back. It's going to blow.
And usually you fill more than what the chicken can take.
Yeah, and then you're waiting for you open the door, and the wind blows in.
It goes right back into the fireplace, which is establishing its draft.
Yeah, you know, and you're just on your way out for dinner or something, and you're just covered in dust.
Just wrong timing. Yeah. Wrong timing to do that.
Blink your eyes and...
But that's basically...
Clump it.
Yeah.
Clump it up
with
the moisture, with a little sprayer, and then scoop it out.
Yeah.
And away you go.
That works really well. Now, I don't know if you wanted to talk about... some stoves are good to heat up, 1,000 square feet or 800 square feet. Right. Some are good to heat up, like, 1,500 square feet, some 2,000, right. Some up to 3,000 square feet. Realistically, heating up an entire home with a wood stove, if you have like over 3,000 square foot of a home, it's kind of not realistic.
Yeah, but you can get these little fans that sit
the
down
eco
there.
Fans? Yes. Yes, they do work for a certain,
footage. My wife bought one of those Echo fans.
Yeah.
And I mean, my wife, she's promised me for 23 years she's going to quit smoking. She still hasn't quit smoking. So I've taken one of her cigarettes, gone to the Echo fan, put the smoke in front of it and the smoke behind it, and the smoke doesn't move. The Echo fan is spinning like crazy, 50 miles an hour, but it doesn't move air.
You know, they're not going to promote your show, The Echo fan are cutting their budget to your
show. Notice I looked around first and noticed that you guys don't sell them.
We do sell them, it's right. We do sell them and we do use them. But
they're not really, like, if you have a big house, the Echo fan is not going to take the heat from one end of the house and drive it all the way up to your far bedroom.
I wouldn't say that it would.
Well, I would guarantee it probably won't.
I wouldn't say that it would. I'd say use the electric fan for now. And then when the power goes out, I guess you move the heat around all day, so it's good now.
So basically... it just radiates out from a wood stove.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So you're saying that, even if you have a 3,000 square foot house, it's probably not, one wood stove will probably not heat the whole house.
Depending on the layout of the house, usually what I see is, no, realistically, you're not going to heat up the farthest room from the wood stove with one wood stove.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay, and we're talking like over 3,000 square feet here.
Right.
Right. For most homes, 1,700 to 25 to 28, one wood stove can cut it depending on how the house is divided, right? And where the location, obviously, the location of the stove in the house. But it's always better to have a stove that's going to heat up. If you have let's say, 1,450 square feet, and you're deciding, should I get the stove that heats up to 2,000 square feet, or should I get the stove that heats up to 1,500 square feet?